This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
My name's Nick Giuliano. I'm the editor of Politico's new sustainability news service, where we're reporting on how businesses and governments are planning for the future. I'm joined today by sustainability reporter Catherine Boudreau, who co-authors our weekly newsletter, The Long Game.
We're joined this morning by Democratic Congressman Paul Tonko. He's of New York, and he chairs the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Environment and Climate Change.
He talked a little bit about the connection between some of the issues that we're seeing out in the streets today and you know, the broader environmental justice concerns that you know, have been of rising importance in the green community for the last several years. And you know, that was an issue actually his subcommittee had a hearing on just, I think, not long after we wrapped up our interview yesterday morning.
Thank you for joining us, Congressman Tonko.
My pleasure, Catherine. Good to join you. Good to join you, Nick, as we have a good discussion on climate change and where we go from here.
Today,
I think there's a direct link that public health policy, environmental policy are all, and even economic development policy should all be an overlap.
Politico's Nick Giuliano and Anthony Adragna on what the House's top Democrat on climate change thinks the role of nuclear should be in reaching net zero emissions. It's Wednesday, June 10th, and I'm Kelsey Tamburino. On Tuesday, Politico sustainability editor Nick Giuliano and reporter Catherine Boudreau talked with Congressman Paul Tonko, who, as we said earlier, serves on the Energy and Commerce Committee, where he is the chairman of the Environment and Climate Change Subcommittee. So, Anthony, one of the things that's been most interesting this Congress has been the struggle within the Democratic Party on what their position should be on nuclear energy. What did Congressman Tonko have to say on this?
Well, right. So this has been a dynamic we've been paying attention to for a long time now. And obviously there is a very energized left flank of the Democratic Party led by people like AOC, Ed Markey.
We have choices. And it turns out that more taxpayer giveaways to the nuclear industry is the wrong choice.
And Bernie Sanders, who've called for, you know, abolishing and doing away with nuclear power, not building out additional natural gas infrastructure. And that's something we've seen leaders on the Energy and Commerce Committee, like Paul Tonko, be a little bit less on board with.
Look, I think clean energy of any kind, including our nuclear energy, is an important factor as we go forward. I think that certainly, we have a great number of megawatts that we rely upon that are nuclear driven. And as long as we can sustain an economy with clean energy formats, we should go forward in that regard.
And so this was the first time that he clarified that he is not in favor of phasing out nuclear energy. He sees that as a crucial component of getting to net zero emissions by 2050, which is what the committee has said its goal is.
And Nick, I know we've talked about this in the past on our podcast. We've even done an entire episode about nuclear energy. But can you talk a little bit about why nuclear power is so controversial?
Sure. I mean, the basic rub is, you know, nuclear is carbon free. It doesn't produce any carbon emissions, but it does produce nuclear waste. And that raises its own set of concerns with disposal, with, you know, potential for contamination of groundwater. I mean, there are, you know, radioactive material that you have to do something with. And as we've, you know, as everybody in the energy space knows, Yucca Mountain is no closer really to completion than it was when it was proposed almost 40 years ago. So it's tough to reconcile. Let's just leave it at that.
And Nick and Anthony, did Congressman Tonko say anything in particular related to what Democrats may try to get through for the environment in the next coronavirus package?
We didn't get any firm indication on that front, I don't think. Given what we've seen so far, they haven't included this in any of the previous bills that they've put out. You know, Senate Republicans in the White House have come out pretty aggressively against doing anything for, you know, clean energy as a specific targeted piece of aid. And so, you know, Democrats say that this is a priority. You know, Congressman Tonko led a letter last week to leadership saying, you know, we need to address these hundreds of thousands of jobs that have been lost. But he didn't provide any real concrete indications today that that was, you know, necessarily going to be included in a future bill. And just given the fact that it hasn't happened to this point, I don't particularly see any of those dynamics changing anytime soon.
But I think Tonko is going to be really one of the key, if not the key players to watch, given his position on energy and commerce and the fact that he has taken a personal interest in trying to advance a lot of these priorities in future legislation. I think certainly there can be skepticism given the signals we've seen out of Republicans in the White House. But if something is to happen, Tonko is going to play a key role in getting something done.
We had one question from the audience that was kind of interesting. It was basically, you know, what about carbon pricing?
Carbon pricing, they say, is the most crucial tool to address long-term sustainable emissions reductions, but it's absent from your legislation. What are you doing to incorporate carbon pricing into how the U.S. takes account for the price of emitting carbon dioxide?
That was the one big, sort of blank spot in the bill that Democrats put out back in January. And, you know, in response to that question yesterday, he said,
we'll engage in those discussions. We'll have hearings that will bring in the various approaches that people will recommend. And from there, we'll define as we go forward.
More or less stay tuned. He said, you know, this is something we're talking to experts about. We're looking at ideas. We're having these hearings, but we're still working on it.
Anthony Adragna is Politico's Energy Congress reporter. Nick Giuliano is Politico's sustainability editor and co-author of Politico's The Long Game newsletter. To subscribe, go to politico.com/thelonggame. Also, a report from the University of Toronto yesterday said that a group of hackers targeted environmental organizations, philanthropies, government officials, and journalists who were working to show ExxonMobil's role in spreading misinformation about climate change. The report, published by Citizen Lab, a watchdog organization, says hackers from a group called Dark Basin, which is based in India, targeted thousands of people from all around the world, including organizations like Greenpeace, 350.org, and the Union of Concerned Scientists. Many of the people targeted by this hacking worked on the Exxon New campaign, which argued that the company was aware of its impact on the environment decades before acknowledging it in public, and instead focused on downplaying the impact of fossil fuels. The results of the campaign prompted numerous lawsuits against Exxon. The report from Citizen Lab says it found no strong evidence that Exxon or any other company had participated in the hacking effort, and it has already prompted an investigation from the Justice Department. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy Podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.